Hello, Spanish lovers. Welcome to Spanish We Do, a show about everything that can be done in Spanish. If it cannot be done in Spanish, you will not find it here. Lo siento. My name is José R. I'm the head of the Spanish We Do team, and we do translation for text, subtitles, we do voiceover and all that kind of thing. And one of those things that you can do in Spanish is to magically convert street into a square, and then that square into a neighborhood. I know it doesn't make much sense, so let me explain. Today we're going to talk with Barbara Tartavini, part 2 of our conversation. She's from Argentina, I'm from Venezuela, we're both currently living in Spain. And all of us all Latin Americans and also people from Spain, grew up, among other things, with shows from the United States dubbed into Spanish. And that's where word magic happened, for a beloved kids show called Sesame Street. You know that one, right? So in Spanish, in Latin America, somehow, it did not become Calle Sésamo, like for Sesame Street. No. It became Plaza Sésamo, meaning Sesame Square. How did that happen? How did they turn that street into a square? And why? But okay, that's how we knew it. Plaza Sésamo, Sesame Street. Sesame, yeah, well, I know, it doesn't make sense, but that's how it was. And then I moved to Spain and find out that in Spain, Sesame Street was not Plaza Sésamo, Sesame Square. No. In Spain, it is Barrio Sésamo, meaning Sesame Neighborhood. So it grew even more. Why? Now I want to know how they call it in Equatorial Guinea. Because, well, it's the only African country where they speak Spanish officially. But I'm wondering, did it become Sesame State? Sesame Province? Sesame Planet? I don't know. Every time there's a translation, it seems it keeps growing and growing and growing. Sesame Universe. That's what it's going to be. Universo Sésamo. Okay, let's get to the episode. Barbara Tartavini is an Argentinian immigrant in A Coruña, Spain. That's where she's living currently. And she's done a lot of work with English, first with US-based companies such as Oracle, IBM, Western Union. And then, currently, after doing a 180 turn, focusing on teaching English to kids through fun, playing and laughing and having fun. If you happen to be curious or be in A Coruña and its surrounding areas, you can find her at thetreehouse.es or through her Instagram profile, thetreehouseenglish. In part one of the conversation, we talked about differences, cultural differences and language differences between Argentina and the rest of the Spanish-speaking countries, including Spain and Mexico and all that. Also, we went into how Italians influenced Argentinians, the way they speak and why there are so many Italian last names in Argentina. At one point in history, 20th century, 40% of the population in Buenos Aires, the capital of Argentina, were from Italy. So, pretty evident that was going to have an influence. So check it out if you want to check part one. And today, for part two, we're going to focus on something very interesting, which is how dubbing of these kind of shows, all kind of shows, was mostly done in Mexico. So how Argentinians grew with their own local type of Spanish, also at the same time with the Mexican type of Spanish, or what's being called neutral Latin American Spanish, because, well, the Mexicans knew they were doing it for the rest of the continent as well. And you'll find out a few interesting things. Number one, how Argentinian mothers know their kids are watching too much television. And yes, that's got to do with speaking Spanish. Number two, you'll find out why Barbara is advising you, if you want your kids to learn a new language, maybe Spanish, do not make them watch, that's her view, don't make them watch shows they love in one language make them watch them in the other language because it feels so odd, out of place. So she's got a particular approach about that. You'll hear about that. And finally, you'll find out why a friend of mine from Spain says us in Latin America speak mermaid. Yes, mermaid. The language of mermaids. Okay, let's get to that. My conversation with Barbara Tartabini, part 2 in Spanish We Do. Adelante. Dubbing can either make or destroy audiovisual work.
Oh,
interesting.
I mean, I've had this conversation several times because I'm a fervent defender of The Simpsons. Yeah. And that's the only thing that I watch that is not in their original language. I've watched The Simpsons in English. I love it. But there's this little place in my heart that can only be occupied by The Simpsons Latin American version.
Gotcha.
And I've had this conversation with people here saying, okay, but our version is closer to the original. It's always better to listen to the original, blah, blah, blah. I do agree things in their original version, I think, at least for me, are more enjoyable. But this is like the exception that confirms the rule. And as I was saying earlier on, most of my childhood, I thought that that was neutral Spanish.
Right.
I did not make the connection. And there are phrases that are evidently super Mexican that no one else in Latin America would use. But I just didn't think much of it. So as I didn't analyze it as a child, when I heard it again years and years after that, and I heard it now being an adult, I was like, whoa, this is like so Mexican and I love it.
It
but
is.
I couldn't make the connection when I was little, you know?
That happened to all of us.
From Mexico.
Yeah, it takes my mind to a show that's a bit older than that, which was Fantasy Island, and how Mr. Ward, Ricardo Montalban, spoke, which is so very Mexico City. But it sounded neutral to everyone. But that's an interesting thing about Latin America that maybe, yeah, but for sure, people outside Latin America don't know. And it is that we are very used to watching for decades the same shows with the same, when they are dubbed into Spanish, it's the same type of dubbing. It is the same one.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not like a specialized for Argentina. Sometimes some people think about it and when they are trying to target different areas of Latin America, they try to over-specialize and it rarely works.
Yeah.
But
and
there
it
is,
backfires.
There's a good option, but you have to be culturally knowledgeable about it. That's it. You know,
I mean, if you go overboard, it seems like you're trying to, suck up to someone.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I don't know if I can say that, but it kind of feels that way.
Maybe the podcast gods would strike us with the lightning. But besides that, I don't think there's any issue.
But yeah, I think that, as you say, maybe now or from a couple of years to now, there's been a change. But when I was little, all of the dubbing was done in Mexico mostly. And when my mom was little, it was done in Spain because, you know, Spanish comes from Spain and that's it.
Yeah.
So, it was really difficult for me to connect with older content. The only thing that was in Spanish from Spain that I connected with when I was little was Willy Fogg.
Which one was that? Sorry?
Willy Fogg?
It doesn't ring a bell. What is that?
Oh,
I don't know what that is.
It's an animated show about a lion that it's basically... oh, what's the title of Jules Verne's book? La Vuelta al Mundo en 80 Días.
Okay, yeah.
I can't say it in
around
English.
Around the World in 80 Days? I think it's just like that.
Yeah, but it has like a different...
Like the Phineas thing and the name of the guy and all that? I don't know. Okay.
Sorry?
Yeah, but I know what show it is. Yes.
Okay, that one. But all the rest was like Disney movies that were evidently dubbed in a... more neutral Spanish than The Simpsons, but it was still I could still tell that they didn't talk like me.
Yeah.
And years and later,
about that? Like make games about it? Like when you talk with your friends, like yeah. let's talk like in the movies or whatever. And then you spoke
way, but I mean, let's say that you played Barbies or you played Pinnipons or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
And you saw the Barbie show or you saw the commercial, right? Yeah. Those were done on the US and dubbed in Mexico. So in our heads, that's how those characters speak. So maybe we would play in Argentinian and maybe we would use tú instead of vos.
Yeah.
And try to neutralize the way we talked, but
yeah.
It was more to match the characters than to match the language in our little infant heads. But for example, when The Impossibles came out, there was an Argentinian version of the dubbing. There was a Latin American one, and then there was an Argentinian one. And I don't know why.
It didn't feel
real.
They did
a great job.
I guess.
It seemed like I had bought a fake of the DVD. Like someone
who called my neighbor from the second floor in the building to record this. This does not sound real. A superhero would never speak like this. Is that kind
of
thing?
That is so weird because, I mean, I love and embrace the fact that kids now have someone to relate even more to when it comes to their fantasies of being heroes or princesses or doctors or whatever. I celebrate that. But I'm also very aware that the way we talk and the voices we use are a part of us. And that
is just so very interesting what you have said. Amazing. I love it.
This is a little nugget that might interest you too. As you know, I work with children. I am a teacher. I'm an English teacher. I teach English to kids who are very young.
Yeah.
And what I always suggest to the parents when they say, okay, what type of content can I show my kid to encourage that they learn English, that they love the language, et cetera, et cetera. And my advice is always don't show him something that he or she already loves. Because let's say he or she already loves.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It has to be something new.
Okay.
Why?
Keep going.
Because if I, for example, watch Peppa Pig and I love Peppa and she's in, let's say, neutral Spanish or Spanish from Spain or whatever, and then I see the same cartoon with a different voice, I am going to think that there's something wrong there because this is not what I have associated with. This is not the voice I have associated with this cartoon. Therefore, this is a worse version, a different version. This is not what I am used to. So this is not what I am looking for. Therefore, I reject it.
I got you, Jim. No, I connect that. Just I'll let you keep going in a second. I connect that with what you said about your cartoon you loved and that like The Simpsons, for example. And it's a particular case with cartoons because since you don't see like the difference between the way they move their mouth, which happens with real people when there's a dubbing, but in cartoons you just accept it. That's their voice. So there is no rationalization necessary. Because, this is dubbed or whatever. You don't. It's just like right there. And when it is well done, which is many times it is spectacularly well done, that's just like their natural God-given voice. So it sounds very, very out of place when you hear it in a different language or different dubbing.
It's super weird because I am very aware of this phenomenon because I work with this every day. And even though I know why I have this visceral rejection for a different type of dubbing that is not Latin American for The Simpsons, for example, I'm aware that it's a bias and that it's ridiculous, but I cannot help feeling it. So that's what I'm trying to prevent.
It's very emotional, very raw. It grew up with you.
It's very rational, too. I think it has to do with what we associate with something that's familiar and comfortable. And that we don't have to think too much. I mean,
well, imagine one day your mother comes home and has a different voice. It's like, is this your mother? She moves like your mother.
Like,
she says the same words. She's called you just the same, but she's got a different voice. You would feel like, is this a robot?
That's not my mom.
Is this an alien?
Yeah.
Or maybe you like your voice better then. I don't know. Okay.
It feels like a part of that person is no longer theirs.
Yeah.
So it makes you weary of whoever or whomever you're listening to.
Completely.
That's why I recommend my students not to listen to something that they already know. Just be adventurous. Look for something that you love.
That's something very insightful and it's fantastic.
And listen to it in English, because that's the way in which English will be the association that they have with that character.
And I think that what you said is going to be extremely useful also for people, for teachers who are teaching Spanish to young children, because maybe like the first thought is to show them something they know, but in a different language and whatever. And what you have said is absolutely very insightful. Fantastic.
And thank you. I feel so smart. I think it's interesting times too, because in my particular case and the people that I was raised with, we don't speak in our day to day. We don't speak like most of Latin America does.
Yeah.
Broadly speaking, obviously.
Yes.
So we should have heard those differences and we should have gone, oh no, this is not how we sound. So this is rubbish. We don't want it. And that was not the case.
Interesting.
Was it because of lack of options? I don't know.
I think because of media. And this is something I talked about a couple of episodes back with someone who he's very knowledgeable in media and has been in decades working with media. Mm-hmm. But the point is, media and show business, which is what we were talking about in a way through television and dubbing of different shows, mm-hmm. is actually the popular voice of society. So what's there, it's not in terms of language, it's not judged, it's not looked down upon, it's just there. It's like the air you breathe. So it's interesting because for you, for what you tell me, which
it's
is what
the
I wanted.
Norm.
It is the norm, exactly. And I wanted to find out, that's why I'm happy I talked to you about that and that you are very insightful about it, is that instead of seeing that neutral Latin American, we're going to call it that, register as something foreign or something, it's not part of us, and or we don't like it. It was just a second voice, because you had your society voice, like your physical analog society with your family and your friends and your school, and you had this other voice from not all media, because you have local media evidently, but from those shows who were very common and movies and that kind of thing. So you had a parallel reality, which one is not better than the other, and they can both coexist. So that, I like that. Okay, no, yeah.
There is a little
that.
Something that I haven't told you.
Oh.
That I'm just thinking
saving
about.
Saving it for last. Sneaky girl.
Yeah, because you're painting us in such a nice light that maybe I should just leave it at that.
No, you should not. I wasn't. But it's interesting that it sounded like that to you. I wasn't. But now you need to keep going.
I have to say it. I opened my mouth and now it's out there. So even though we were raised listening to dubbing from other areas and regions, specifically Mexico, we really realize when someone speaks differently IRL. And I've seen people close to me reprehend their children because they're not, quote unquote, talking right.
All right.
Because they are mimicking what they see on TV And if they spend a lot of time in front of the TV, they will end up talking like the dubbing instead of just using it in their daily play, you know?
Yeah.
Playtime, sorry. So even though we grew up with it and we, at least in my opinion, we don't have anything but love to those dubbings and that way of listening to the media that we love, we do realize when kids start talking like the movies.
Yeah.
And we don't like it because it's not a language thing. It's more like you've been spending a lot of time in front of the TV. That's like the way of knowing that, okay, maybe we have to cut. Yeah, we have to cut down on TV and YouTube and all that because you have spent so much time in front of this that this is your norm, which is not the child's fault, by the way.
Of course.
Right? hey, I'm here to say the whole thing, not just the nice thing. So yeah.
Very interesting. Now that. I just to wrap up like the language thing, not to leave it behind, but just to have like a complete view of it. When someone is trying to learn Spanish or wanting to learn Spanish, so they know, have you ever seen anyone, and this is an open question, I think I know the answer, but it's an open question. Would anyone who's learned Spanish anywhere else, either in Mexico, the US, Colombia, have trouble understanding someone from Argentina, or would they not be understood if they encounter themselves on the street?
Okay. So.
Yep.
Have you seen that video, Que difícil es hablar el español?
Yes.
Okay, one, so there's
it.
Your
How
answer.
Difficult it is to speak Spanish, it's yes.
Very. The answer is very, because Spanish is not just one language. I think, in my opinion, it's more like an umbrella term for an enormously rich cultural and grammatical baggage that varies greatly from region to region, let alone country to country. So being able to learn Spanish and then listen to someone who speaks a different type of Spanish than you is always hard. It's not just for people who are learning English. I mean, Spanish is my mother tongue. I've been speaking Spanish since I've learned to speak. And I still, after 6 years living in Spain, I still have trouble with the language. And I still have problems and little hiccups. That being said, I think that it's difficult for someone to understand Argentinians specifically because we change something that is very basic to learners, which is one of the pronouns.
Yeah.
And not just the pronoun itself, tú for vos, but how we conjugate the verbs that
Correct.
We use with vos.
Correct.
So it can get confusing. And it always humors me a little when I see friends trying to do an Argentinian accent, because as you said before, they tend to do that little Italian tone.
Oh, yeah.
That is not ours.
No.
And they try to use our vocabulary, but they still use the other type of grammar. So it's neither here nor there.
Right. It's not the same to understand
weird.
It than trying to fake it or reproduce it or mimic it and whatever. Would you say then the recommendation?
It's difficult for someone. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. It's difficult?
No, just to wrap it up, I think it's always difficult to get yourself out there when you're learning a new language. It's always difficult to communicate. But it's also difficult when you change regions and there's always a new challenge. So To answer your question, yes, I think it is a little more difficult for people who are Spanish learners to communicate with someone who is from Argentina. But it's just a matter of adjusting to those two little details, and then you're good to go. It's not like if you have a trip planned to Argentina during this pandemic, I don't know why you would. You just be warned.
Why would you go anywhere?
why would you go anywhere?
That's
exactly.
Right.
But be warned that you might feel discouraged if you talk to an Argentinian person or visit Argentina, trying to use your Spanish, what you've been learning. Don't get discouraged. It is absolutely natural to feel a little taken aback by the fact that we just don't respect any of the rules. We don't follow any of the rules that we should be following.
You have your own. Come on. That's not it. So I think the bottom line here is if you're a Spanish learner or you just speak like, let's say, basic neutral Spanish or something like that, yes, it would actually, if you want to understand a little bit more of the way people speak in the south of Latin America, namely Argentina, Uruguay, you would have to first look a little bit into how the singular second person is used, both for you, like the pronoun, and the conjugation of the verb. So you can get it, because otherwise you're going to be kind of lost, specifically when that type of sentence is being used. But at the same time, people from Argentina can easily and willingly, in many cases, adapt to you, because they are very used to dealing with what you could call neutral Latin American Spanish. Now, someone may not want to and hide things from you. Well, they guess what? They could hide it from me also. And so
yeah.
it happens with many, many languages. So Barbara, it's been fantastic. I'm going to leave it there for now.
Loved like it.
We've gone many places, but I want to commit you to another episode, because I want to do a series on culture or popular culture in this sense. I'm going to call it as it should be called, on stereotypes. So
okay.
I'm very curious on stereotypes of how one country sees the other country, which is for neighboring countries, it tends to be negative. We know that happens everywhere in the world. So do not worry about that. And I don't know, I wonder if for some other countries farther away, it tends to be more positive. We'll find out. I'm also going to pitch, let's not use that word. I'm going to put together two people from different countries, Spanish-speaking countries, and see what they think about each other's Spanish type and also culturally. I just leave you with a short bit of information on that. In Spain, I have a very good friend who is from Spain, and he says that what I speak, particularly me being from Venezuela in that area, we could include the influence of Mexico in that in terms of media. I speak mermaid. He calls it mermaid.
Mermaid?
Sirenita.
What do you mean mermaid?
Because he says, oh, you're speaking mermaid again. That's what he says. And he's from Spain, so I tell him, and you speak, your Spanish is the beta version, but that's fine. Yeah, I understand yours is not perfect. It's like the very
ours is Spanish 2.0.
Unready version. But why does he say that, mermaid? Because Disney used to dub their movies for Latin America, for Spain, also in the mid part of the 20th century in Mexico. So that included one of the most extraordinary talents I've ever seen from Mexico, a guy called Tintan. Spectacular, amazing guy. I really like what he did. Well, he was the singing voice in the Jungle Book, the singing voice of the bear, if you remember that.
Ooh.
Amazing guy,
yeah.
Amazing guy. Okay, but the point is, La Sirenita, the Little Mermaid, was the last one that was dubbed in Latin America by Disney before they switched to dubbing in Spain for the for the local market in Spain. So they have this connection that when they download, well, before Netflix and all of that, movies, pirated movies from the internet, sometimes they would get the Latin American dubbing. So among his friends, they would say, oh, come on, man, you downloaded it again in mermaid dialect because it sounds to them like the Little Mermaid. So he says, well, yeah. You speak mermaid. You make a very good mermaid. I say, no, I do not. Anyway, Barbara, it's been a pleasure. Barbara Pastelavini, if I could say that, that now that you know that tarta is a cake. It's so funny you had not made that connection. I'm in shock. Interesting how you get those little shadow areas remain after time. It's interesting. I'm sure I have them. I'm sure.
Then when we're offline, I'll tell you all the connotations that I cannot say on the podcast because I've had some negative things, but whatever.
How are people going to leave this podcast now without you saying it? Okay, but
because I want a cliffhanger so you can invite me back.
All right, so we'll open the next episode with the cleanest or the most clean version of that we can make. Thanks so much, Barbara.
Give it a try. Thank you for having me.
Talk soon. Absolute pleasure.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye bye. Y eso es todo, amigos. That's all for today. That was a very nice Spanglish touch. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Spanish We Do. Thank you to Barbara Tartabini. Again, if you want to find her, go to thetreehouse.es, thetreehouse.es, or The Treehouse English on Instagram. You'll find her there. And, well, for you, I'll see you on the next episode of Spanish We Do, the podcast. If you want to find us, you've got SpanishWeDo.com, Spanish We Do on Twitter, Spanish We Do on Instagram. All over the place. All over the place. Adiosito. Adiosito. That's a little goodbye. Adiosito.